Where were you 15 years ago today? Now, I know some of you weren't born yet, but I was a freshman in high school. 11 o'clock, probably still in the classroom. Okay, it's 11:20. Probably heading to lunch. Where I would hear for the first time that day of what had happened that morning in New York. When two buildings, which I had no clue what they were, the World Trade Center, had planes flown into them. I was 15 years old. That day caused many people to ask the question, where is God? That day also caused many people to turn back to him. And when we read this first reading from the book of Exodus today, and we hear about God threatening destruction because the people are not worshiping him, but the golden calf, we might be able to use that maybe to explain what happened 15 years ago. But Moses interceded, recalls the great acts just done in freeing the people from Egypt, and then those longer promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel of a prosperous people. And so the writer of the scripture says, the Lord relented of the punishment. Yet our God is unchanging. So I don't know that it's so much that God changed his mind, but that Moses' understanding of God changed that day. We hear in the gospel a story that is quite familiar to us. We begin with the lost sheep and the lost coin. And if I was to do the shorter version of today's gospel, I would have stopped right there. However, that is unfair to you, because then you miss out on the story of the prodigal son and the prodigal father. And how important to reflect on this reading, especially in light of the Jubilee of Mercy, which we are celebrating right now. St. Paul reminded us in the first letter to Timothy that Christ came to save us sinners. And so the good news that we hear in this weekend's readings is that God gives us the opportunity to choose life, to choose him. You see, Christ came not so much that you and I could be happy, because that's fleeting, but rather that you and I could have life and have life to the full. Not just merely existing, but be filled with the abundance of his love. And so I think an appropriate question for us is, are you, am I already living in heaven? Or are we just going through a veritable hell, hoping to make it to heaven someday? You see, today is the best day of our lives because Christ is with us. Because we are entering into heaven in this Mass. And tomorrow is going to be the best day of your life. I know it will be mine, because Christ will be with me tomorrow. And the next day, and the next day, until he calls me to himself. And then, let the celebration begin. The term prodigal, at least according to Google, means spending money or resources freely and recklessly, extravagantly, having or giving something on a lavish scale. And so we often think of the prodigal son, right? He takes his father's inheritance, he's just told him, you are dead to me, and he blows it all. But let's not forget the other prodigal, that of the father. You see, the father is prodigal in his love and in his mercy. For he doesn't even let the son finish that statement that he was going to tell him. He immediately throws on him the best ring, the robe and fattened calf is slaughtered, and a feast is begun. Just like the rejoicing over the finding of the lost sheep or the lost coin, especially if that lost coin was going to be your meal for that day. And the Son of God is prodigal. And his redeeming us, pouring forth every single drop of his blood when he only had to drop one, giving us the whole of himself to nourish us in this Eucharist. Sheep are dumb. There's no argument about it. Coins are inanimate. They need to be sought out. They need to be found. But you and I are made in the image and likeness of God. We are his handiwork, treasured by him, endowed with reason and free will. So if you notice in the story of the prodigal father, he's not out searching for his son. He's waiting for his son to return. And then he goes towards him. God does not seek us out. He respects our free will. And he waits for us to return to him. But we hold back. We don't want to make the journey. We don't want to cooperate with his grace to let go of anxiety and be still before him in his presence, because heaven forbid I let God have control of any aspect, let alone the whole of my life. We don't discipline our bodies for his glory or purify ourselves of our sinful tendencies, maybe going into the confessional, confessing our sins, and then just before leaving, picking them back up and throwing them in our pocket. What do we watch? What do we listen to? What do we read? Who do we surround ourselves with? I think of a commercial that I saw at one point in time where somebody eats like a cinnamon bun and it shows up on their butt and it says, "What you eat, you will become." You know, if what we eat affects us, how much so everything else? If what we eat affects our physical life, how much so does everything else affect our spiritual life? The scribes and the Pharisees, who can't stand the fact that Christ is welcoming sinners and eats with them, are like that older son, that older brother, complaining, not willing to accept the sinful brother back, never accepting the prodigal father's love and mercy, which was freely there. One who we might describe as pompous, self-conceited, arrogant, thinking he knows it all, self-justified and self-assured. The prodigal son, on the other hand, is humbled, not sure of himself. He has lost his identity. He is in the lowest of places. He recognizes his sins and his sinfulness. He accepts his condition and lost dignity. Even goes so far as to make his own penance. He is vulnerable, honest, open, and authentic. And so he turns back to the prodigal father and is overwhelmed by love. Where was God 15 years ago? Where is God today? He's with us. He's right next to us. He's within our minds and within our hearts if we open them up to him. And he's pouring forth his lavish love and mercy upon us if only we would put the yellow umbrella down and soak in the rain. In this Eucharist, we are given the greatest of gifts, God himself. And he calls each of us to return to him with all our heart, soul, and strength, the greatest commandment. Warts and all, so that we can be healed, raised up, and set on the course of conversion, growth, and change. To be once again conformed unto his image and likeness that we are created in. And so in this Mass, we once again return, falling on our knees and surrendering to Him. Not fighting, but accepting His love and His mercy.